build a new school, close Forest Hill, close Liverpool, combine those students into one brand new school. So those are the three recommendations, possible recommendations from the study. As I said, it is an opportunity for the district to present information, but also for stakeholders to present information. We want the DEC to have as much as they necessary in order to make the best decision for Forest Hill Elementary School. So that's what this process is about. In Policy 409, it dictates what the district needs to present to the DEC members. So we don't get to choose. It's laid out. And those are the topics that we need to cover. So you can make sure that I do my job and cover all of those points. Sean, we didn't have to stop in all the way to watch. So enrollment is the first item. And if you can't read that, it goes from the year 2000 to 2017. And it's in 2000, it was 125 students. In 2017, it's 141. So there's been some ups and downs, but not too bad with enrollment. This graph shows it by grade level. So in years from 2011 to 2018. In 2018, it's projected, so it was August numbers. And I believe it's 127 now, yes, roughly. So in 2018, projected for August was 129 students. It's 127 students now when I checked. So again, it's pretty stable. Quality of education programs. So these are teaching FTEs, so full-time equivalents, so classroom teachers. For 2017-2018, it was 10.3. Projected in August is 10.4. These numbers come from a ratio that is provided to the district from the department. So we don't get to choose. It's a ratio that comes to us. So administrators, it's one administrator for every 250 students. For guidance, it's one guidance for 502 students. Resource, it's 1 to 180. And sometimes we do a little shuffle if need be. So you'll notice that administration is a 0.52 according to the ratio, but we give her just a little bit more and it's a 0.6. And a 0.6 would mean that you have a teaching principal for Forest Hill Elementary School. She would do some classroom work. And just to give you an idea, a 0.2 would be a full day of administration. So 1.0 is 5 days. Maximum class size. So the maximum class
when you have only two grade levels in the building, it makes it nice that you can actually focus. You're not focusing on numerous different age range. You just have 5 and 6-year-olds. So that is that's a benefit. Some of the challenges, because of the small size and the ratio that we have for staffing, many of the specialists teach. So the principal teaches, the resource teacher teaches, and sometimes they're not available all through the day because they are in a classroom teaching. Even though it's a K-1 and it's a benefit to be able to focus on that, it takes away the opportunities that you may have for older students to work with younger students, so that peer mentoring is not there because it only has two classes or two grade levels in the building. The building is not wheelchair accessible. So if you have a child with mobility issues, they have an opportunity to go somewhere else because they just can't accommodate children in a wheelchair in this building. It's just not built for it. And then that smaller school's staff, because they're invested and they do a lot of things in this building, and you have a small staff, there's a lot of responsibility for a small staff to do many things. So it's the same staff doing it over and over again. And I'll hand it over.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the business side of 409. So this building was constructed in 1955. It has 7 classrooms, and 2 classrooms are located on the lower level, and there's 1 modular classroom towards the back of the school. There's no cafeteria, and the gymnasium is a multi-purpose room. This is a schematic of the first floor, meaning first floor downstairs. And this is the floor we're presently on here. So functional capacity is a tool that we use to assess how many students should be present in a building, what's the ideal complement for a building. So this building has a student enrollment of 141 with a capacity of 147, which gives a capacity rating of 95.9%. What does that mean? So between anything that's over 80% capacity is a full school. You know, there's not a lot of extra space. There's portables usually present in that scenario above 80%, which we have one here. Between 60 and 80 is what we call an optimal functional capacity. You know, students are able to move around in the spaces. School's not overfilled. Below 60%, it would be considered underutilized. Under 30% is a school that we would look at for potential 409 because there's a low population of kids there. In some cases, you get less than 50 students going to a building, for example, of a school that might be at 30% or lower. Okay, let's keep going the right way. So, challenges with this building. It's an older building, so of course, these buildings weren't built with mechanical ventilation included in them. So, the ventilation is done here through opening of windows, opening of doors, that kind of thing for refreshing the space. There is no sprinkler system in the building. Being an older building, there is the presence of asbestos in the school. It is maintained by trained staff, and we have at the district level an asbestos management plan, which is managed by my facilities group, where they do annual inspections of asbestos areas in schools, so maintenance repairmen inspect those areas, and if there are areas that require remediation or work, then that work is completed that year. So it is meeting the health and safety requirements that we need to ensure are present in a public building in schools. So there are some accessibility challenges with So, capital investment, this is the, over the last number of years, we've done $109,000 worth of capital work. Here you can see we've done some flooring, some exterior door work, and put in some new windows in 2016-17. So the physical plant status, this is a database of all of the facility issues that we see as a shortfall. When we compare that to what would be in a new building today. So a new building today would be built with mechanical ventilation. So you can see on there, there's a ventilation system, some upgrading of electrical components, washroom and classroom upgrades, some site improvements for outside, sprinkler system. So all of those items come down to a cost estimate of just over $1 million for capital improvements that potentially could be done here. At Forest Hill. So facilities cost, this is the cost associated with operating the building for, you can see the things there, electricity, water, sewer, garbage removal, and so on. And if you look at the totals over three fiscal periods, it ranges from $38,000 in the earliest year to $47,000 last year, with the, really the big increase there is the cost of natural gas and more minor repairs in 17-18. So every school has a budget, a financial budget that's assigned to them for their use at the school level. So Forest Hill has a budget of $20,625 in total. You can see the different areas that it's broke out into there for the school to use to meet their needs, with the largest budget being for regular instructional, and that's supplies instructional materials for students and for teachers to use. So earlier, Catherine showed you the costs of, or the number of FTE. So this is the number of FTE translated to cost. So you can see in 17-18, the estimated, or the actual total was just over $1 million for salaries, and the estimate projected for this year is $1.135 million, with an increase in teacher salaries and in the number of educational assistants. That's the difference between the 2 years. So in the transportation world here, students in grades 2 to 5 who reside in this area are bused to Liverpool Street Elementary School. The morning bus system, kids coming into Forest Hill Elementary School, there's 5 buses, there's 3 in the afternoon that service the school. And if we were to look at the third option of building a new school and transferring kids from here to go to that new school and kids to go from Liverpool to that new school, there would be no impact on the number of buses or drivers because we're dealing with the same number of students that we're transporting right now. As far as what does a ride for a student look like for Forest Hill? So the longest ride in currently is 33 minutes. The longest ride home is 40 minutes. And you can see the average ride time for a student is 9 minutes. So with the potential combined school, you can see there that it ranges from the longest ride of 40 minutes to no change on the ride home to an average increase for students of 6 minutes, so 15 minutes total ride time. And the assumption here is that the new school would be built in the Liverpool Forest Hill area on a site that the government will determine that we've estimated where we think it would go. So transportation continued. What are the distances that students are being transported? They're not long distances by any means compared to other schools in the district. So the average distance is 1 kilometer, and the maximum is 2.3 kilometers. And you can see with the new school, the average would be 2.1, and the maximum would be 7. So it's a little bigger. Certainly. education has educational planning guidelines that determine what a school looks like. So if we're looking at a K-5 school for 500 students, which is a functional capacity of 80%, so the school would be actually right-sized to 650 pupils with 500 students in attendance, would look like 28 classrooms, 24 to 28 classrooms. There would be an early childhood development room, and we have examples of those in our district where we have daycares that are operating in our schools during the day. Lincoln would be one that you might be familiar with. We have one there, and after school programs and things are conducted in those spaces as well. So there would be a music room, performing arts room. There are project work areas for a chance for students to work together. Four resource rooms, some special care areas, and a health room, and a multi-function room. There would be a double gymnasium, so a double gymnasium for size. If you're a numbers person like me, it's 591 square meters, which is a large gym space. This new school would have that, as well as a single gym, which would be larger than this multi-purpose room. So if you've ever had the opportunity to visit, say, Gibson Neal here in Fredericton, they have a double-sized gym and a multi-purpose room, if you want to know what the size looks like. So there's also a library, seminar room, stage. There would be a cafeteria and a kitchen. There would be a number of offices available for both administration and for visiting professionals. There would be staff room, there would be custodial spaces. There also would be dedicated parent and bus drop-off areas, so parents are coming in the morning, they're not mixing with bus traffic, they would come in, be able to drop in a safe space, and buses would come in another space and drop students. So there would also be built-in outdoor playground space, hard surface area, and playing field. So just to reiterate what Catherine said earlier, the deck has three options with respect to this 409, which is to maintain the status quo at Forest Hill Elementary School, provide for repairs to Forest Hill Elementary School, or to build a new school, which would see the closure of this school combined with Liverpool Street Elementary School for continued education. So this would be in a new school with both of those school populations. The last little thing is on economic development. Under Policy 409, a lot of time when we're looking at school closures, we're looking at an area where we're in a decline population and the school in the community is at risk for closure. So the economic impact would be large, or potentially large, in a community where school closed because of the impact on business, home values and things like that. In this scenario here, yes, we're looking at closing two schools and we're looking at building one new school in the area, but the school is not being removed from Fredericton and going somewhere else. So there's still going to be those economic wins for the area by having a school and having a new school. There may be increased opportunities. So the last slide I have is about what would a new K-5 school look like for the combined populations at both schools. So you can see here 129, 340 at Liverpool for a combined 469 students, which would equate to 24 homerooms, and on the teaching FTE side would result in a total FTE of 32 FTE, so 32 positions. And we are at the questions and answers portion.
So, do we have any questions from the public or from the deck? Or the staff, I guess, if you want to ask a question.
I have a question. So, if you put the $1 million into the school, what does
K-5 school. The estimate is around 23 to 25 million for a new facility. The last ones that we've done.
If the decision's made to close two and build a new, you know, there's probably, you know, a 10-year timeline in between.
So we definitely would maintain the building up until the point where, you know, closure would occur. So anything for health and safety reasons that we would have to do, would we undertake a mechanical ventilation job in this building in the next 5 to 7 years? If the school, like the DEC decides, you know, next May to put this on their capital list for consideration for government, and it goes forward through their process, and the government says, yes, we're going to build a school, and it takes, for a design and build of a new school, you're out there 4, 5, 6 years. So yes, we certainly would be maintaining the facility, but we certainly would be aware that those decisions are happening, and we would come back to the council and say, we want to do the ventilation there because we're going to have a new school, so we would make that investment.
Yeah, my concern would just be, you know, it's to government then, right? And so it's could be in limbo for a while,
yeah,
before you get to the top of that list and get,
yeah,
approval.
Yeah.
And you just don't know. It's hard to make a proper decision at that point, how much money to put in.
Yeah, so we definitely would meet all of the regular health and safety, because our capital improvement list is organized into three different sections. So there's emergency repairs that happen outside of that list altogether. There are things that we have to prioritize as what we call priority ones. So something that has to be done next summer. So like a roof, or say the fire marshal comes in and says, look, you need to change this for that. That needs to be done. So we schedule that ahead of everything else on the list. And then there's the priority two things, which would be, an example of that would be a washroom renovation that you could do or not do, depending on the amount of money that's available in capital improvements. So we definitely maintain the priority ones would still be done in a school that was slated for closure. As long as there were staff and students present, we would maintain that.
Anyone else?
So let's talk about next steps. The next public meeting number two, which is going to be held on November 15th, same time, 6:30, right in the space. You don't have to go anywhere else. We're going to come to you. It starts at 6:30. It's an opportunity for stakeholders to present to the DEC any relevant information that you want them to take into consideration before they